as long as, well, women want to assert, and as long as men also want to assert, so there is conflict. Pardon?
Oppress.
Has to.
Look how quickly that blew up.
I never said the word oppressed, but well, if you like to use it, it's an oppression from the women to us now that she's using the word oppress, you know. And I said assert. So it's a question of assertion. I tell you, why should I not assert? Why should he assert? And that's how it goes on. And then you feel that you are oppressed. Oppression comes into the picture.
But this does seem to be a definite change, in a way.
Change from what?
Well, from the relationship as a group that men and women used to have, or
yeah,
still have
because of wrong concept regarding freedom. And most the part that has been played is by the people, you see, who are counseling you all psychologically and creating different pattern. So,
could you expand that and make that clear?
What that wrong concept of freedom is?
Pardon?
What that wrong concept of freedom is?
And also about the psychology. It would be interesting to know your thoughts on that.
But will that be interesting to you?
Yes, personally to me, very much.
Now, are you a psychologist?
I studied psychology. My wife is a psychologist.
Oh my! Then it's and better that we should choose words. You see,
but not oppressed.
I'm oppressed. If you live with a certain psychologist, female, you're definitely oppressed.
Bless you.
No, what happens is that, really speaking, let's go to the very very inception of the whole thing, you see. Thing is that a man and a woman would lead, their lives would be wrong, would lead a life. It was considered like that. There's no question of leading their lives, because both of them were one, in spirit, in thoughts, in their moves and all that. There would be quarrels, there would be little confusions and all that, but each one did not think that he or she is leading her or his own life. It would be our life, our children, our home, our house, and so forth. It was a united thing. And then gradually, with the passage of time, you see, the husband, of course, is to be blamed. Woman is also to be blamed, because that spirit of giving in was being lost sight of. So a husband, then in the meantime what happened was that there was progress. Then there came slogans. Then there came the slogans of equality and all that. With progress, many things started cropping up. Progress in in household amenities, progress in industries, and progress in business, and progress in laws and regulations and rules, and everything started progressing. It means one thing was added to another thing. And in the midst of that, although all this proliferation was going on, there were slogans of equality coming to the ears. So, they started having their roots now. And they started shooting out. Little shoots were coming out of this equality and progress. So it says, oh, well, we should have equality. It had nothing to do with the family life. So what happened is that Tim, who is toiling so much, you see, and Peter, who is toiling a little less, but Peter seems to be more, more rich, more prosperous, and then Tim, who is working like that. So both Tim and his wife would think about it, and Peter and his wife would naturally feel comfortable, because Peter is continuing with his whatever work he's doing and all that. But the slogans of equality, you know, that are coming to their ears, so this is, well, why is it like that? Why should we not be so like that? So it all started like that, you know, amongst different families or in general masses. This equality business tried to put its head up. Gradually what happened is that it was first with the general masses, and it started with the families, then in the general masses it went up. Then naturally when it went to the masses, it affected the laborers also, who were working, employees were affected and all that. So they started putting their heads up and they started having their say in that we must have equality. A man earns so much, $100, I must earn $100. A man owns a car, why can't we own a car? Why can't we have the amenities? Why can't we have the facilities? So then, from outward world, it started seeping inside the house. So a woman, sometimes a man comes tired in the house from his work, and he's rather harsh. He's to be blamed, there's no doubt about it, really speaking. It all started with the blame to be put on the man, you know. So he is tired, and he's demanding. So the woman says, well, what's this? All the time it's you that we have to serve you. She blows her top off. And then we have equal rights too, you see, in the house. Why can't we be served by you? It goes on. So again, this has, a little seed has been sown, you see. And it goes on and on and on. Eventually, with the passage of time, there set in this women's lib movement, you know, and started. So, women and men were not saying anything. They love women and all that. Don't you think so, Tim? They love women and all that. But it's the women who are asserting their liberation. Why? Because women were oppressing, men were oppressive. No doubt about it. It started like that. So if women were to give in a little and men were to give in, then all this movement will die down again and the old age will come how it was before. The old age was such that men and women lived one life, and when they married also with that intention and with that firm determination to live their life for lifetime. Each one had the partner for lifetime, and there was no question of any divorce or anything of the sort. No separations were there. And whenever there would be little conflicts, there was giving in. And not only a challenge, but at the same time, when anybody gave in, either party gave in, the one who gave in felt elated instead of feeling depressed or having a feeling of slavery or anything of the sort. Because he or she was generous, big-hearted. Well, I give in, that doesn't matter. So that was the feeling at the time. But now, before getting married, you all have contracts, you see, to be signed in case you get divorces, what is to be done, how the thing is to be divided, and this and that. So all the focus has shifted from a feeling of oneness to a clear division that, well, it's a sort of a marriage of convenience, so to say. So that married life, that life which we called a real marriage, has no meaning whatsoever. It's just, you know, we used to hear in history at the time, a princess of so-and-so country would get married to the prince of so-and-so country. It was just it was convenience, marriage of convenience, yeah. To bring the two countries together, and that's all. Not the two personalities together, but the two countries together. That would help them.
Yeah. Could you mentioned the wrong concept of psychology. Could you make that clear?
Freedom.
Well, freedom, I think you just spoke about.
Yeah.
You mentioned psychology.
The thing is that what happens is, when I say about psychology, is that counseling also, the counselors there, the psychologists also play a great part in this, in misleading their clients and all that, through their own vocation, whatever it is. I am not a psychologist to say that, but I have come to hear of many such cases that they have been misled by these psychologists, where they could have solved the problem, you see, easily by just comforting the persons without dabbling into their psychological, academic achievements or whatever they had studied. So if they had simply said, brought them together through just human feelings, instead of involving their minds into it, it would have been a pleasant thing. But psychology, they started using this material, you see, their knowledge of psychology, they started putting that knowledge into solving another family's personal problems, you see. Where their hearts are concerned, they started trying to probe the hearts through the minds. So that burst the hearts, you see.
Hearts get lost.
Hearts get wounded, hearts get lost. If a psychologist were to keep aside his psychology and take the cases through his own heart, trying to bring home lessons to the hearts of these, it would be a good thing, it would be a happy thing, it would be a beneficial thing.
Then it wouldn't be psychology. Then, the way it's practiced.
Then I know psychology is a systematic study of the psyche. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then, nowadays we have plenty of psychologists. Yeah, plenty of such. And counselors are more counselors and more psychologists than the clients. They need
only
some.
Only in California.
Well, no, everywhere. Here in India also we are having them now. My own niece is there, you see. She goes on dabbling. You know Mera, who would come here. Yeah. Like
yeah,
that.
I do the same thing.
Huh?
I do the same thing.
Yeah, you do the same thing.
But
no,
don't.
It is good,
no,
but then we should not lose sight of the heart qualities that one has, you see. We have heart, the psychologist has his heart, you know. He shouldn't lose sight of it and shouldn't try to probe things, you see, through the mind. There is something behind that and much more sublime than the ways and the functions of the mind, and that is the heart, the feelings are there. So there, what I said was that these counselors and psychologists are also to be blamed for such a situation.